Thank you for joining me for another episode of Uncovering the Bay and Basin, true tales from the shores of Jervis Bay and St. George's Basin, exploring the lives, legends and landscapes that shape this remarkable part of the New South Wales South Coast. Today's story takes us to the remote cliffs at the southern entrance to Jervis Bay and the haunting ruins of Cape St. George Lighthouse, a beacon that promised safety but delivered far more sorrow than salvation. By the mid-1850s, the coastline around Jervis Bay had earned a grim reputation for shipwrecks. A lighthouse was recommended in 1856, and by 1860, the tower at Cape St. George stood completed, but controversy surrounded the project from the beginning. The pilots' board, the very authority responsible for navigation, was never consulted. Once they became aware of the build, they immediately began receiving reports questioning whether the lighthouse could even be seen from the critical approaches to the bay. When inspectors examined the site, they concluded that the original survey map contained discrepancies of so grave a character that it was impossible to decide whether either position marked on the map really existed. Even worse, the tower had been constructed 4 kilometres north of the intended site, conveniently closer to the contractor's sandstone quarry, rather than where the light was actually needed. Despite objections and technical concerns, the lighthouse was officially commissioned on the 1st of October, 1860. Designed by colonial architect Alexander Dawson, the structure was built from locally quarried sandstone. The tower stood 18.5 metres high, connected to 3 ground-level buildings containing 8 rooms used for living quarters, storage and supplies. But its fatal flaw remained. The light was barely visible from essential approaches, making it more a hazard than a help. During its less than 40 years of operation, 23 ships were wrecked in the vicinity of Jervis Bay. By 1899, Cape St. George Light was replaced by the far superior Point Perpendicular Lighthouse on the northern headland. The lantern from the now decommissioned lighthouse was removed and later installed in the Crookhaven Heads Lighthouse. The presence of both towers was considered dangerous, causing confusion for mariners during daylight and bad weather. As a result, the old tower was unceremoniously used for naval target practice between 1917 and 1922. Decades later, in 2004, the ruins were added to the Commonwealth Heritage List, a reluctant recognition of their place in Australia's maritime story. Life at a remote lighthouse was more than tending a flame. It meant isolation, responsibility, and resilience. From 1860 to 1877, as many as 15 people lived at the station, a headkeeper, 2 assistants, and their families. They shared the 8 cramped rooms that also stored vital supplies, including the oil that kept the lighthouse burning. The nearest landing point was 4 kilometres away at Murray's Beach. Every supply, from food to mail, had to be transported over rugged terrain. Horses were used when available, though they were difficult to keep due to limited feed. Goats proved more practical, providing milk, meat, and even bait for catching sharks. Tragedy was a constant shadow over the station. In 1867, Isabella Jane Lee, the keeper's daughter, died of typhus. In 1882, 13-year-old George Gibson died of pleurisy, and in 1885, 11-year-old Florence Bailey died of typhoid. And in 1887, a moment of careless play turned fatal. During skylarking, the keeper's teenage daughter accidentally discharged a loaded gun, killing Harriet Parker, the assistant keeper's daughter. Harriet's grave can still be found at Greenpatch. Death visited the adults as well. William Markham, assistant keeper from 1878 to 1883, was kicked in the head by a horse and died before reaching Nowra Hospital. Then in 1895, chief keeper Edward Bailey was swept into the sea while fishing. Entangled in his lines, he drowned and was believed to have been taken by sharks as his son watched helplessly. Bailey left behind 11 children. His son Arthur later became the first head keeper at the new Point Perpendicular Light in 1899. Today, the windblown ruins lie within Booderee National Park. managed by the Wreck Bay Aboriginal community and the Department of the Environment. Stabilised to prevent further decay, the stone remains evoke both the ambition and the misjudgment of early colonial efforts. Visitors can walk among the foundations and gaze out at sweeping whale-rich waters. The site is considered the most significant European historic place within the park, a powerful reminder of human error, maritime hazard, and the families who lived on the edge of the world. As one historian remarked, Cape St. George Lighthouse was a disaster in organisation and decision-making, yet its story and its ruins continue to captivate. The story of Cape St. George Lighthouse is not one of triumph, but of flawed vision, hardship, and quiet resilience. As you stand among the ruins and look across the vastness of Jervis Bay, you feel the weight of its history, the shipwrecks, the families, the tragedies, and the unyielding power of the sea. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Uncovering the Bay and Basin. Until next time, may the tides carry our stories forward. This program is researched, written and produced by Wendy Hamlin for 927 Bay and Basin FM. I'm Stephen Brown. For more episodes of Uncovering the Bay and Basin, see the podcast page on our website 927fm.com.au.